A Florida congressman blasts the FAA. FAA and USDA will cooperate on biojet fuels. And the moon could be a gold mine. Well, silver maybe. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 25th, 2010. Florida Congressman John Mica, the ranking Republican on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, is calling out the FAA for what he calls a faltering attempt to produce an effective tamper-proof license for thousands of commercial airline pilots. Quote, "When I chaired the Aviation Subcommittee 6 years ago, we worked to require in law the development of a tamper-proof pilot certificate or license and eliminate the crackerjack prize paper identification that had been in use at the time. Written into the law are requirements that the license would include the individual pilot's photo as well as be tamper-proof and biometrically enabled. It's mind-boggling that 6 years later, after spending millions of dollars, the FAA license still does not include the pilot's photo or any biometric measures. The only pilots pictured on the license are Wilbur and Orville Wright. Although the FAA now requires all pilots to have the plastic pilot certificates, I discovered that in issuing these plastic licenses, the FAA has ignored the photograph and biometric requirements set forth in the 2004 law and the 2005 deadline to meet those requirements. I want to know why. This is a sad commentary on federal ineptitude, especially considering that a commercial pilot's license is one of the most important security documents issued by the government," unquote. Mica is also upset because there are still no readers for the chips in ID cards used by some other federal agencies. The FAA's response to the Associated Press suggests the law is asking the impossible. The FAA points out that, unlike your DMV, there is not a system of convenient FAA offices where pilots can simply stop in to have their pictures taken for a license. And pilots aren't allowed to just casually stop by FISDOs the FAA does have anymore. FAA says the new plastic licenses do have the capacity to include biometric data now. If photo ID cards with chips do become the norm for pilots in the U.S., it could cost you. Port employees are required to buy their own cards at $132.50 each. If we have to pay anything like that for pilot certificates, and then additional per-airport fees required under TSA's large aircraft security program for that ID, that could hurt. Last Thursday, the FAA and USDA announced an agreement to work together to help bring domestically produced biojet fuel to market. Boeing and the airlines were quick to applaud. Boeing VP for Environment and Aviation Policy, Billy Glover, pointed out that biofuels are an important part of the industry's strategy to reduce net carbon emissions. Quote, "Through test flights with a number of our customers, we have proven that fuels made from plant matter can power jet aircraft safely and efficiently, and we look forward in the months ahead to the approval of these fuels for commercial use," unquote. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has said recently that federal guarantees for development loans in areas such as alternative fuels have default rates of only about 1%. He called that too low, suggesting that more risk tolerance among lawmakers will be needed to bring biofuels to market successfully. President James May of the Air Transport Association of America said of the partnership between the FAA and USDA, quote, "We applaud their efforts and look forward to working with them to commercialize biofuels that can help the aviation industry meet its aggressive carbon reduction goals," unquote. Friday's edition of Science Magazine published 6 papers detailing findings from data obtained by NASA's LCROSS, or Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, and LRO, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. The missions found evidence that the lunar soil within shadowy craters is rich in useful materials, and the moon is chemically active and has a water cycle. Scientists also confirmed the water was in the form of mostly pure ice crystals in some places. When LCROSS was sent to intentionally impact the surface inside a crater, the resulting debris plume was analyzed by the LRO and found to contain volatiles including methane, ammonia, hydrogen, carbon dioxide, and carbon monoxide. The instruments also discovered relatively large amounts of metals, such as sodium, mercury, and possibly silver. Scientists believe the water and mix of volatiles that LCROSS and LRO detected could be the remnants of a comet impact. The existence of mostly pure water ice could mean future human explorers won't have to retrieve water out of the soil in order to use it for life support. The abundant presence of hydrogen gas, ammonia, and methane could be exploited to produce fuel. Up next on ANN, Canadian pilots say don't cut air marshals. AirTran has a tentative agreement with pilots. And it's always nice when this happens to your paycheck. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 25th. I'm Paul Plack. The Airline Pilots Association has come out against budget cuts in Canada, which reportedly have resulted in a 25% reduction in force of air marshal personnel in the Canadian Air Carrier Protective Program. Captain Craig Hall, director of the ALPA, Canada National Security Committee, commented, quote, "When we consider that not even a year has passed since the Northwest Flight 253 near disaster over Canadian soil on Christmas Day, and the recent reports of heightened concerns regarding possible terrorist attacks in Europe, ALPA firmly believes that this is not the time to cut back on one of the most effective terrorism deterrents we have," unquote. Critics of air marshal programs in the U.S. and Canada have called them wasteful and called for funding to be reallocated to programs that provide a better deterrent to terrorism. AirTran Airways says it has a tentative agreement with more than 1,700 pilots represented by ALPA. It provides a raise, improved benefits, and enhancements to productivity. Specifics have not been released pending a ratification vote expected in the next 30 days. If approved, the new agreement would take effect December 1st. AirTran CEO Bob Fornaro says he's pleased. Quote, "We have negotiated an agreement that will reward our pilots for their hard work while still allowing the airline to maintain our low-cost structure," unquote. Southwest Airlines pilots got a nice surprise. With a deep recession raging, their contracted pay raise was projected to be zero in 2010. Instead, an improving economy has brought them a 3% raise. Captain Carl Kowitsky, president of the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association, says his members, quote, "are excited about a future with an improving economy, which allows our company to maintain its profitability. The pilots, like all Southwest employees, hope that positive announcements, such as the one from the company today, signal an end to difficult times and portend a bright, growth-filled future ahead," unquote. Still ahead, catch two aviation conferences with one road trip. Arnold Palmer is honored again by NBAA, and a survivor is getting back to his routine. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet,
Pipersport,
Pipermatch,
Global Expansion,
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed, get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 25th. I'm Paul Plack. The National Air Transportation Association's 2011 FBO Leadership Conference, February 7th and 8th, and the National Business Aviation Association's Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference, February 9th through the 11th, are both in Savannah, Georgia, and the timing allows attending both with only one set of travel plans. The groups also point out the synchronization provides members unparalleled networking, marketing, and educational opportunities in one place at one time. You'll still need to register for each event separately. NATA President James Coyne says it's a repeat of a successful formula. Quote, NATA and NBAA realized enormous success with this coordinated approach in 2010. NATA experienced a 50% increase in FBO Leadership Conference participation, while NBAA recorded the third highest attendance in the history of the S&D Conference, unquote. You can get details and registration info at nbaa.org and at nata.aero. Last week at NBAA in Atlanta, Arnold Palmer was among five aviation legends honored for 50 years of safe flying with the FAA's Wright Brothers Master Pilot Certificate. But before he left for home, NBAA also bestowed its own 2010 Meritorious Service Award on the prominent golfer, businessman, and pilot. The Meritorious Service to Aviation Award has been presented annually since 1950 by NBAA to an individual who, by virtue of a lifetime of personal dedication, has made identifiable contributions that have materially advanced the industry's interests. Previous recipients include Charles Lindbergh and Senator Barry Goldwater. NBAA President Ed Boland noted Palmer's service as a spokesman for the organization's No Plane, No Gain campaign to educate the public about the benefits of business aviation. Quote, Arnold Palmer has been willing to use his good name to promote business aviation at a time when we needed it most, unquote. Palmer got a standing ovation from the audience and videotaped congratulations from renowned investor and fellow No Plane, No Gain spokesman Warren Buffett. And finally today, there was lots of coverage of the August 9th crash of that de Havilland Super Otter float plane in Alaska. You know, the one that claimed the life of Alaska Senator Ted Stevens and four others. There was so much bad news to report that we wanted to make note of the fact that after more than 2 months spent recovering from serious injuries, survivor Sean O'Keefe was able to return to work last week at EADS North America. Sean is a former NASA administrator and Secretary of the Navy. His son Kevin, also a survivor, was released from the hospital within a few days after the crash. WTVT News reports that Sean's return to work was posted on Facebook, along with photos of his recovery and of the accident. Sean, welcome back. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly chat with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, we'll talk about the dangers facing instrument pilots with limited experience in actual IMC, and talk about why you should learn to fly with no hands. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.